This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. A new state house bill may bring a big change for North Carolina's juvenile penal system. North Carolina is one of only two states in the nation where 16 and 17-year-olds are routinely charged as adults. The new bill would raise the age of adult prosecution for most offenses. Now, this is not the first time state lawmakers have considered such a proposal, but this time there appears to be more support, with legislators on both sides of the aisle expressing approval. Here to tell us more is WUNC reporter Jess Clark. Welcome back, Jess.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us how 16 and 17-year-olds are treated now in the criminal justice system.
So in the criminal justice system right now, 16 and 17-year-olds are considered adults. So any procedures regarding arrest, charging, prosecution, and sentencing that would apply to a 30 or a 40-year-old would apply to a 16 and 17-year-old. And that's whether it's some type of violent offense or whether it's a misdemeanor like shoplifting or being found with marijuana in your purse at school.
And as we said, we're one of only two states, New York State being the other, that still prosecutes all 16 and 17-year-olds as adults. What have those 48 other states found that North Carolina has not yet discovered? Why have they changed? And what is it, essentially, that critics of this procedure say that we should change?
Well, so the age of juvenile jurisdiction hasn't changed in North Carolina since we created the juvenile justice system in 1919. So think about all the things that have changed since 1919. When you were 12 years old in 1919, you could smoke, drink, and get married. That's not the case anymore. But we've changed all those things, but we haven't changed how we prosecute 16 and 17-year-olds. They're still considered adults. In the past 50 years, almost all the other states in the nation plus D.C. have realized, you know, what brain research and science tells us about youth brains and that they're just different than adult brains. And they have raised the age of juvenile jurisdiction up to 17 or 18. North Carolina just hasn't done it. And North Carolina and New York are the only two.
All right. So tell us about this legislation. What would it do?
So this legislation would move 16 and 17-year-olds into the juvenile justice system and out of the adult system. The juvenile system is very, very different. So in the juvenile system, there's no public record of your charge or your infraction. And that is one of the biggest problems for 16 and 17-year-olds who are charged in the adult system is that record follows them. So in the juvenile system, they wouldn't have that. The juvenile system is also a lot more rehabilitative. So they are provided services, counseling, mediation, any type of social service that they need. And there's all a lot more parental involvement. In the adult system, there's next to none. So it would move those people, those kids, into the juvenile system.
All right. Would all 16 and 17-year-olds then, under this new law, always be charged as only juveniles?
No. So there are exceptions. And that was, I think, one of the reasons that it has support from district attorneys around the state is that 16 and 17-year-olds who commit violent felonies, these are class A3 felonies, those include rape, murder, armed robbery, those people would be automatically charged as adults in the system.
And there would be some discretion even for other charges so that it's not just those, but district attorneys with court approval could also bring adult charges against 16 or 17-year-olds in cases that they think are appropriate.
Right. In other felonies, nonviolent felonies, it gives discretion to district attorneys. Yeah.
And that's the case in most of those other 48 states, that there's still discretion. People can still, 16 and 17-year-olds can and still are charged as adults in those states, but not every single one of them. And that's the big difference. And so to put a spotlight on kind of what this means in North Carolina, to be charging 16-year-olds as adults, you talked with TJ, who was just picked up on his first charge a few months after turning 16. Tell us his story.
Right. So TJ is 16 and he picked up his first charge just maybe 2 months after he turned 16. He had been in an argument with his father remotely, so via text, and he had sent his father a text message that his father perceived as threatening. His father called the cops on him to find him. And when the cops found him, they arrested him and charged him with making communicating threats. And TJ's father decided not to drop those charges.
So he's going to follow through on the charges for a 16-year-old. It's a felony. Here's what TJ had to say about it.
The judge even said it wasn't right. He was like, pressing charges on your son. He just turned 16. You're basically already ruining his life within 2 months.
All right. So what happened to TJ?
So TJ was charged and sentenced. And his sentence as an adult is probation for a year. So a couple times a week, he has a probation officer that comes in and checks on him.
Is it a felony?
It's not a felony. It's a misdemeanor. Communicating threats is a misdemeanor.
But that's on his record. He's 16 years old. He's just starting out. That's going to be hard
for him. Right. It's going to be hard for him. He now that he has that record, it's going to follow him for the rest of his life. He's not really sure what he wants to do. He's only 16, but he's thought about going into the military. He's also thought about going to college to become a computer programmer. And he's thought about just getting a job straight out of school. And a record will, you know, be a barrier to all of those goals in his life.
Well, let's find out about the support for this bill in the House right now. Republican Representative Chuck McGrady is the principal sponsor. Let's hear what he has to say about it.
At that time, we were really fighting the battle as to, you know, what is the underlying policy. Now there seems to be more consensus around the idea of raising the age, but it doesn't mean anything unless you put money towards it. And so I'm one of the budget chairs, and that's why I've been approached to handle the bill.
That's Republican Representative Chuck McGrady, one of the co-sponsors of a bill that would raise the age of legal criminal prosecution in the state of North Carolina. He's referring to the fact that this legislation like this has come up in previous legislatures and failed, right?
Yeah, that's true. People have been working on raising the age in North Carolina for at least 20 years. So there have been many, many versions of this bill. This year, there seems to be more momentum. It has broad bipartisan support across the House. You have Chuck McGrady, who's a Republican from Henderson, and who is a powerful budget chair in the House. You also have David Lewis, who is the powerful rules chairman. So those are two Republican heavyweights. And then you also have a lot of Democrats who have co-sponsored the bill as well.
And this is also, it plays into, the current law plays into complaints about the school-to-prison pipeline, where students, because of discriminatory practices in the school, and there's been plenty of research to show how discrimination is at work when it comes to what happens in schools. And this leads to, if you end up with a criminal record at the age of 16, makes it very difficult to get out of that system. So you talked to someone named William Lassiter, who is a deputy commissioner for juvenile justice, and here's what he has to say about changing the law.
Number one is what we call disorderly conduct. What is disorderly conduct? Acting out in class, all right? You and I, when we acted out in class, did we go to the district attorney's office? No, we went down to the principal's office, right?
There we go. William Lassiter, Deputy Commissioner for Juvenile Justice. So he's talking about changes in the rules and the way what happens in school that make it more likely that you're going to come in contact with the criminal justice system.
Yeah, that. So William Lassiter was giving a talk at the John Locke Foundation, which is also supportive of this measure. And Lassiter was saying basically so a huge, I would say the majority of 16 and 17 year olds that come into the system come in through school-based referrals. And those happen because today in our schools, most schools have police officers in them. They're called SROs or school resource officers. And what often happens is that if they feel that if they witness something that is a crime, and if they're called to deal with it by the school, then they have to charge that kid. That's the way many of them see it. And so what happens is Say a kid is being disruptive in class, and the teacher for some reason decides to deal with that by calling in a school resource officer instead of dealing with it through the administration, the school resource officer will come in and can arrest the kid and charge him with disruptive behavior. And so instead of going down to the principal's office and calling your parents, that kid goes to the district attorney's office, and that, you know, it happens. Disruptive behavior, right, is a large component of that.
And again, you're in the criminal justice system. So very briefly, Chuck McGrady talked about money. There's a financial argument here. First of all, the cost of juvenile justice system, which is a little more expensive, all the counseling and resources that you'd have available. On the other hand, there's a recidivism rate that's much higher for juveniles who are prosecuted as criminals, and if they keep coming back, they're expensive too. What's the cost analysis of a change? Do you know?
Well, it's an overall, all the analysis that have been done show that there's an overall benefit, cost benefit to the state, financial benefit to the state. Initially, there are going to be upfront costs because you have to build to accommodate 16 to 17 year olds into the juvenile system. You have to have space to put them. So they have to build more buildings. They have to hire more staff and counselors. There was a study in 2011 that estimated the cost would be $70 million a year to the state. Mm-hmm. But that study was done when crime rates were a lot higher. So crime rates since then have dropped 30%. So it would probably be lower than $70 million.
Upfront cost. Meanwhile, you save a lot on recidivism because we've seen the higher recidivism rate among juveniles who go to the prison versus juvenile system. And if they keep coming back at $40,000 or $50,000 a year in prison, those costs mount very quickly and quickly surpass the $70 million upfront cost.
Right, right. The recidivism is the main driver of the costs.
The higher costs.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. A little better chance this time. Jess Clark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Jess's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, one man's story about feeling invisible as a former incarcerated black man. Hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.